Hey, it's good to be here with you. I hope you're doing well. Good to have those of you who are watching online this morning. I had misjudged her ability to bless others. Totally didn't get it. I absolutely missed it. Mandy was born premature at 24 weeks. And shortly after her birth, medical authorities declared her legally blind, deaf, a 4 out of 5 on the autism spectrum. And they further determined that she would never be able to talk nor self-feed. Mandy's parents chose to turn her over to government care. And I first met Mandy when she was 17. She had come to live with friends of mine, Clive and Aruna, and their 2 young boys. They had become another foster family for her. And surprisingly, Mandy not only learned to talk and feed herself, but she was able to recall the names of people she met and even interesting details about them. When you didn't think she was listening, she was. I recall her amazing ability to complete 1,000-piece puzzles. You know, those big puzzle things, and I'm not very good at that. And you're very good at that. That's awesome.
I'm an expert at puzzles.
You're expert at puzzles. Love that. And she'd find these little pieces and bring them to her eyes, and she'd put them together. I don't know how she did that. She also enjoyed singing worship songs. But I would also learn that there was more to Mandy than I could see. 7 months ago, I officiated at the celebration of life service for Mandy. She graduated to be with the Lord at the age of 34. And during the open segment part of the luncheon that followed the service, several of the workers from the developmental program for the intellectually and physically disabled spoke of the incredible impact of this one life on staff and students. One girl who Mandy had obviously impacted wept out loud during the service, during the time that the worker got up there and shared how Mandy befriended girls in the program who struggled to fit in. Another worker shared a particularly moving story about how a young disabled man who struggled to get along with staff and students and hated being at the program was won over and settled. Guess by who? Mandy. Several of her fellow disabled students shared with tears running down their faces how Mandy had been there for them. She had made a difference. And it was amazing to hear the difference one person, especially someone I wouldn't have considered was blessed because of her disabilities, how Mandy took the call to bless others seriously. And today, as Greg mentioned earlier, we're launching into a new series called Bless. And together, like Mandy, we want to learn how to live a life that glorifies God and impacts other people positively. Let me tell you, friends, there's not a better life you can live than to impact someone else's life and change their trajectory for good. There's nothing else. You will take nothing else with you, but you will make a significant difference in someone else's life and change them forever. Rockefeller, who's one of the first billionaires, after he passed away, the story goes that someone came up to his lawyer and said, How much did he leave behind? How much did he leave behind? And the lawyer wisely said, everything. Everything. Friends, we need to consider what we will leave that will live on beyond us. So turn with me to Genesis 12 then. It'll be on the screen, but maybe you have your device with you. And if you like to follow along, please turn to the Grace Point app. You will find some notes there to fill in. As we look at this brief passage, and I want you to take note of how many times the word bless or blessings shows up in these five short verses. And notice at this time, the gentleman that we're speaking of, his name is not Abraham. He's not grown into that yet. He is Abram. God will meet you where you are, and he will transform you. So chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot, his nephew, went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran, which is would be Mesopotamia, modern-day Iraq. He took his wife, Sarai, his nephew, Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. What an adventure awaited him, because the Lord had told him to go. Now, before we jump into how Abram was called and blessed and released to be a blessing, we need to contrast our current culture's idea of what it means to be blessed with the biblical definition, because those things are very different. So many people in our culture talk about living my blessed life. And this is often linked to materialism. Sometimes people will talk about luck and being blessed in the same sentence, such as this quote from your favorite UFC fighter, former UFC fighter, Ronda Rousey. You'll see it on the screen. However, so-called blessings are only physical in nature. They're temporary, and they blind people to their spiritual poverty and the need for greater divine blessing. And so this is a notion of blessing that differs from the Bible. I recently read a tweet from somebody who talked about a blessed piece of property that they had in California. Blessed in terms of its location and its value. So that word blessing is used in very interesting ways. But in the Bible, to be blessed means to have spiritual favor from God. Notice these words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1:3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Now think about all the spiritual blessings that you have if you're in Christ. Or that I have. Well, we have a right relationship with God. We have the blessing of having the forgiveness of our sins. We have the knowledge that we are free from the judgment that will come upon everybody who rejects God. We are cherished children of God. God loves us. We have the continual presence of God with us. We have the word of God to lead us into truth. We have the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit inside of us who continues to transform me within, to convict me, to challenge me, to guide me, to help me in my struggles, to give me victory over sin and darkness and fear. Not only that, but there's so much more. We have life beyond death, and so much forward to look forward to beyond that. We are blessed immensely. There's so much more. Now let's travel back to verse 1 as we begin to say, what is essential to truly living a blessed lifestyle? Now note in verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram, go out from your country, your relatives, your father's household to the land I will show you. That's a big thing to ask someone in an Eastern culture, especially when there are no road signs, you know, to where to go. But Abraham obeys. So to live a divinely blessed life requires obedience to God's voice. We need to make a decision to join God, to do what he is calling us to do. And that means giving up whatever will prohibit us from going with God. Have you ever said no to God? Have you ever said no to God? I have. I've said no to God on numerous occasions. I'm so glad that at least I can call on most of those. I eventually bowed to him and obeyed. Probably not in all of them. Abram trusted God, and God asks us to give up what we cannot keep for what we can never lose, my friends. Things of eternal significance. But here's the danger. We can settle for a life of living just as everyone else, or we can obey God's higher call to make a difference for eternity by being a blessing to others. God will never ask us to sacrifice anything. Only those things that will diminish us from living the life he is calling us to. And in the process, God will give us more blessings as we obey him. See, God loves us, and he doesn't want us to settle for an ordinary life. Nothing great grows in our comfort zone, friends. Nothing great grows in our comfort zone. To do something great, it doesn't matter what it is, business, fitness, finances, nothing will grow in a comfort zone. Things will remain the same or decline, and you know that. And therefore, God asks us to leave behind anything that would rob us of engaging in a greater plan for our lives. Now, friends, God may ask you to literally leave your country or your family and anything else that would separate you from greater blessing. But I don't think he's going to do that for most of us in terms of going to another place. But whatever he calls us to do, he will do it in order to give us a greater life. He will call us to go to someone or to some cause which will turn out to be a blessing. Now, have you ever heard that word before in the Bible, the concept to go and to leave behind everything? Have you heard that concept before? Is that anywhere else in the Bible? Have you read that anywhere else in the Bible? Anybody? Who else said go? Absolutely. Don't be so shy to speak up. That's right. Jesus said go. And in Luke 14:28, Peter said to Jesus, and in a sense, he was speaking for all the disciples when we read these words here, we have left all we have to follow you. We've left all we have to follow you. Jesus asked them to do that. And then Jesus said, you will gain more if you leave the things you think are important. And all of Jesus' disciples have been commissioned to go and bless. See, that helps us to see that throughout the Bible, the mission of God has not changed. From Abram to the time of Jesus and right through to the New Testament, God has not changed his mind. We've all been called on a mission of blessing. But you may ask, but why are we called? Well, I want to let you know something you might already know. God is a God of blessing. It's just the way it is. God is a God of blessing. God loves to bless people. He blessed our first parents, Adam and Eve. He blessed them with each other's company. He blessed them with a beautiful place to live. He blessed them with animals and delicious food to eat. And he blessed them by inviting them into caring for his creation. And he continued to bless them even after they disobeyed him. So that's the first thing. God is a God of blessing. God is a blesser. Second thing is God desires everyone to live a blessed life. That's God's desire. He wants people to reach their greatest potential. He doesn't want us to settle. That's why he said to, that's why Jesus said to the fishers, you know, he said to them, I will make you fishers of people, not just fish. So God desires everyone to live a blessed life. God is loving and he wants to bless people. He wants to bless you and he wants to bless the people around you. People have lost the source of their blessed status, and we can see in society we're suffering for it. Just as Adam and Eve traded union with God for the devil's lie, humans have consistently followed suit to establish themselves and societies without God. However, life without the knowledge and love of God always results in emptiness and an ongoing search for meaning and purpose. Because life, again, winds up being unsatisfying. Because the things we think, you know, we replace God with and think they're going to give us hope and value, they always leave us empty. But the fact is, humans were made to worship. So though they dismiss the living God, they create other gods to follow. Materialism is one example. Materialism becomes our God. So we make our life about stuff. We value perhaps others and what they own and drive and wear. But you know, in the end, that's not very fulfilling because fashion keeps changing. To fill the spiritual void left by God's absence in us, we try to find meaning in work, in bucket lists, in some movement, in personal physical fitness, I mean, to an excess. And we have all these other pursuits. And sometimes we're still empty. And we just want to feel something. We just want to feel alive. So that can lead to unhealthy sexual pursuits and substance use and philosophies that lead to meaninglessness and further confusion. When our real issue is a spiritual void. And after a while, we'll do anything imaginable and then some more to try to fill this spiritual void. But friends, there's no substitute for the living God. Nobody, nothing delivers what God delivers to us. So no wonder, surprisingly, we have a drug crisis. No wonder there's a loneliness crisis, a mental health crisis. Interestingly, these issues spike when a personal belief in God declines. There's a correlation there, my friends. We were made by God and for God, and only God satisfies. So that's part of the goal. You know, once I didn't know God's blessing. However, my life changed during a period of questioning in my teenage years. And here was my question at the age of 14, because I was struggling to know what was truth. God, if you are there, and I wasn't expecting an answer, by the way. I was just anxious to just blurt it out. God, if you're there, what's the truth? God, if you're there, what's the truth? And God spoke to me, surprisingly, and said, read the Bible. I didn't even have a Bible. But sometime later, my sister had been gifted a Bible from a friend. And because she wasn't reading it, I asked her if she could read it, because she'd simply tossed it aside. A year later, when I declared to my family my faith in Jesus, my family's response was, "You're brainwashed." And they asked me to renounce my faith and stick to the sick faith I was raised in. And they also told me that choosing this foreign God was a rejection of them. Well, you can imagine the tension in our home. With the Lord's help, I didn't renounce God. But my mother told me, "You are no longer my son." And my father said to me, "Get out of the house." Years later, when I got married, my father never attended my wedding. My father passed away wealthy, but didn't take any of his possessions with him. You might say, "That's a great story, Steve. I see where you wound up and what happened to you. That all sounds good. But you know what? I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not outgoing enough. I'm not spiritual enough to be called by God. I haven't heard the call to go, nor do I know where I should go and what should I do." Now, I want you to note something about Abram himself. Abram, which means exalted father in Hebrew, was a childless and aged man when God spoke to him. Isn't it interesting? He lives in a community. His name means exalted father, and he doesn't have a child. And again, it's an Eastern culture. And when you don't have children, you're cursed. So here's a person who's cursed. Probably didn't feel great about it. And he was 75. Not the prime of his life. And also, he came from a family, Joshua 24 tells us, where they worshiped idols. His father was an idol worshiper. And Romans 4 records that Abraham didn't get God's attention because he was a saintly person. Rather, God called nobody, somebody who was considered a nobody, for a grand purpose. Friends, do not count yourself out. God is calling you to a great and grand purpose. Do not sell yourself short. It's a common thing. Moses had 5 reasons he gave to God why he couldn't go. But what happens if we obey and go? Well, verse 2 in our text says this. If you go, if you sign up to go and say, "Yes, Lord, I'll go," he says this, "I will make you into a great nation." That must have sounded really funny to Abram. Think about it. "I will make you into a great nation." What do you mean? I don't even have any kids. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. But guess who's saying it? "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous." Oh, we're talking about Abram today. In a time when they didn't even have books. "I will make you famous." Do you know that almost 1 billion people on our planet trace their ancestry to Abram? Almost 1 billion people. They say, "I am genetically related to him." If you read the Bible, we're told because of our spiritual lineage, you know, Abraham is a follower of God, that we also are, in a sense, all his children. So that's like another 3 billion people on the planet. This is crazy for a guy who didn't have kids. God makes crazy promises, and then he delivers, and the guy didn't even have a child. "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you'll be a blessing to others." Wow. Nowhere to go but a promise. And when we say yes to God's call, you know what happens? We say, okay. Something happens inside. We begin to to think differently. God works in us to transform us and starts awakening us to others. And we realize that wherever we are, at work, at the gym, sipping coffee, we are in a world that needs blessing. And we have a God who is a blesser. We begin to notice other people. We begin to speak. We think of potentiality here. We even begin to serve other people. And after a while, they begin to notice us. If we're walking in God, they smell grace. They smell non-judgment. They smell acceptance. And we're not pushy or overwhelming either. And eventually, in some way, God leaks it out of us to be salt, flavorful, light, and sources of encouragement to those people who need blessings. It just happens because you were made to bless, and you have a God who is a blesser. You see, your existence was expected and planned by God so you would embrace him and do great things beyond having a career, completing personal goals, and so forth. Because what you do as you bless makes an eternal difference. God has penciled it in, you on his plan to bless. Now, where you go? Say, oh, I don't know, Steve. Let me remind you, this is a teaching all through the Bible. Ephesians 2:10 reads, "For we are God's masterpiece." He's still working on this thing. It's not quite a masterpiece yet. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." You see, before Abraham did anything, God had already planned. Before you ever showed up and met God, God had it planned. Isn't that exciting? You're on an adventure. What are those good things that lie ahead, friends? What is it that God had planned so long ago? And you say, Steve, are you serious? Will God really make me a blessing? Notice verse 3 here. "I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." You notice there's a promise there. So Abram obeyed God to go, and the people who interacted with him, we can see this through the rest of the story from Genesis 12 on, they realized there's something different about Abram. I mean, they could have realized he's childless, he's a foreigner, he speaks with an accent, you know? But God worked through him. And they realized that it was God that was blessing him and guiding him. And this carried on through his descendants and eventually through Abram's family line, Jesus was born. Because Joseph was a blood descendant of Abram. And because of Jesus, we're all blessed. As we come to Jesus, we're set right with God and we're blessed in this life beyond. God kept his promise to Abraham of making him a blessing. Friends, the crucial thing is our obedience. Note in our text, it was God who called Abram to go. It was God who said, "I will make you a blessing. I will show you the land. I will make you a great nation. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you." And while there was challenges, as you can read in Genesis, God's blessing prevailed in the lives of some of those around him. So God guarantees success. And I think I passed it in my notes, but there's a picture of me with Abram. Can you pull that picture up here? I'm with Abram, yes. There it is. This is me in the land of Canaan, where Abram was told to go. And that actually is Abram right there on that side. Abram, yes, I was on a learning tour with about 20 other people, and this gentleman is a Bedouin, and he lives in Palestine, and you know he lives out, and he's a tracker. He told us what animal went and how far they'd gone, possibly, and when they were there. It was amazing. And we had an archaeologist with us, and while we were following the life of Abram in the desert and all the places the Bible said he went to, he lived in that territory, and our archaeologist said, this is what likely the biblical Abram looked like. That's what he looked like. That's the kind of person God chose. Isn't that amazing, eh? And God chose him, and he guaranteed him success. So how does that happen in our lives, right? When we say yes to God, it happens in the places where you and I frequent. And some time ago, I began actually praying this prayer as I was going to the gym. Lord, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. I mean, show me somebody whose life you're trying to work in. I mean, some people are just very hard to God. You know, they don't even look at you. They don't want anything to do with God. But I said, if there's somebody here, and sometime later, somebody who worked in that gym that I go to came up to me and said, hey, hi, can I ask you a personal question? Yeah, I heard from somebody that, like, you're a minister. And I said, yeah. And then they began to pour out some of the negative experiences they'd had in church. And I said, hey, we should grab coffee sometime. This is a young woman in her 20s. And we began, and she said, I have these questions about science and faith and evolution. I said, I love those questions. I have interest in science too. Let's sit and talk. And so we talked. And she tried to, she said, hey, is this teaching in the Bible? I said, no, I'm sorry. I don't know who's telling you, but that's not in the Bible. And we formed a friendship, and praise the Lord. She's a prodigal child that's returned to God. Found a church in North Surrey where she lives. And as I continued to pray that, I remember recently seeing a gentleman who's popped into church here a couple of times. In fact, I'll see him later this afternoon. And I just felt the need to get together with him. And because I've been praying, I said, Lord, I want to bless people. Can you begin to show me people wherever I'm at? And so the Lord showed me this guy, and, you know, we got talking. He says, hey, do you think we can grab coffee sometime? I said, I'd love to. And we grabbed coffee. And then I was praying at the side hustle that I have, my business, and I began praying there for some of the clients that I have. And the Lord laid on my mind him that he would be good to get together with. And then I thought of someone who's here this morning, and you know who you are. I won't say your name. But the Lord brought you to mind, my friend. And so I called you and said, would you gather with me over coffee? And we'd like to talk about spiritual growth. And this brother said, yes. And then Kaylee and I joined together. And every Tuesday night at Tim Hortons, we get together with these three guys on a spiritual journey. We're all on a spiritual journey. And we read scripture together and we talk about our lives. See, God is bringing about blessing. And that is how he's doing it. So, friends, choose to live a truly blessed life and hinder and give up whatever hinders you. Because if you do, you will have a front row seat to see lives changed, marriages healed, people coming to faith, people returning to God's gracious forgiveness. And you'll be able to tell them the only one who offers them true blessings. And generations of families will be changed because you went. You blessed one person who found God, who transformed their children and raised their children to know God and live in obedience to him. And generations thereafter followed. This past week, Tracy sent me an email and said, hey, this guy named Fred wants to talk to you. And not that Fred, not you, Fred. It was another Fred. And but I didn't remember getting your email. So I said, okay. So I phoned this gentleman and I said, hi, you know, I'm Steve. And he goes, are you the Steve that used to be at this church? I said, I am. He says, I remember you. Do you remember me? Sorry, I don't. And he began to describe himself. And I said, sorry, I don't remember you. Well, here's my thing, Steve. I go to this restaurant regularly after church with my wife and friends. And at this restaurant, there's a young man, and he's of the same background as you are. He's a Sikh. And I know this because I've been talking with him. And I frequent this restaurant numerous times, and it just came to me that I should invite him to church. And I did. And he didn't come. And then, so I invited him again, and he said, when is that? You know what, I work on Sundays typically, but I'll see. And then he contacted me and said, sure, I'll come on Easter Sunday with you. And so he went on Easter Sunday with Fred. Now, Fred said, the reason I want to get together with you is, listen, I'm 70-some years old. There's someone in our story 70-some years old. And he said, about the same age, actually. And he said, you know, I didn't grow up in the same culture as my friend, so I want to ask you some culture real questions because I don't want to be offensive. And I said, okay. And so, and then as we talked, I said, Fred, this is amazing. You have reached out to this man. He goes, yeah, in fact, I've given him a Bible. And I told him to read in the Gospel of John, but he's been reading in Matthew. I said, okay. And that's okay. And he said, so when I get together with him, what's the first thing we should talk about? I said, I don't know, just ask him what he's learning. You know, what is he learning and what did he think about church? He texted me yesterday to say that the thing that really stuck out to him by church and why he wants to gather is because he wants to know about the God who would die for us. Isn't that amazing? See, God is working. He wants to bless. And there are many examples of it. Even around here, I know some of you are doing your own thing in your own way, using your own personalities and wiring to bless people. Because we've talked about it. I want to give you one example, a very pertinent example, because there's a display out in the lobby. It's the Woman of Grace Point. The Woman of Grace Point. Did anybody go to the Blossom Brunch? Yeah, that was awesome, wasn't it? I was there because I had to do, you can clap as a guy, you weren't there, but it's great. Your wife was there, and she's a big help, by the way. She's a huge help. Thank you, Heather. And I was there to do tech stuff because women can't do that kind of stuff. Just kidding. Just save the emails, save the emails. But that was an opportunity that some women decided they want to do to connect women in the church and to connect their friends. Okay, guys, get off your phones and texting me stuff. Okay, no, I'm kidding, as you know. And but it was an amazing event. And I saw women there who I've never seen before. I saw women there who I knew because their friends introduced me and said, this is my friend, and so forth. And they were just so blessed to be there and hear a speaker talk about connection and the importance of it. And these women are having another event called My Sister's Closet. And they just want to connect with women and they want to bless them. This does not always have to be a church event, but that's one way to do it. But God has placed you and I in different places to be a blessing. Friends, Mandy was not limited by others' people's view of her. She did not take the easy way out or offer excuses. She obeyed. And you know, the good news is, if you still have some questions about where God is calling you to or why he doesn't seem to have called you or how you can live the blessed life practically, I want you to come back next week. Because Pastor Rick has had like basically 3 weeks off from preaching. Last week doesn't count, Rick. Last week doesn't count. I know you preached twice, even at our Mandarin church in the afternoon. That really doesn't count. I want you to come back because Pastor Rick is going to walk us through the very first practical talk on the Blessed Sermon Series next week. We're going to start learning about the first of five bless practices. It's going to be very, very practical. Okay? You're saying, how do I really do this? You're going to hear about it. Friends, you were made to bless. You are so amazing. God has put so much into you, and he wants to make you a blessing. And I hope you're excited to go on an adventure to learn how to be a blessing, because you were made to be a blessing. As Abram went and became a blessing, as Mandy went and blessed, as others in this room are sharing God's blessings with others, I trust that you will obey God's call to go and bless. That is your greatest life, my friends. See, friends, what could happen if more of us obeyed God and took the challenge to go and be a blessing? Let me tell you, politics will not change this nation. Philosophies that leave us meaningless will not change this nation. It will happen one person at a time. Pastor Rick talked about decline in the church. That won't change unless we live out our destiny to be a blessing. Now, as the worship team comes forward and we conclude, let's take a moment now of personal reflection and prayer. Take this moment on your own. You won't be asked to do anything crazy, but take a moment to ask, has God spoken to me in any way about leaving lesser things and to make time to bless others? Has God spoken to me in any way about leaving lesser things to go and bless others? If he has, take a moment to make an action step, a really practical one. You might say to yourself, as a result of today, Lord, I will. What's the I will? What's the I will for you? Lord, I will, as a result of today's message, I will. Perhaps the Lord has encouraged you about what you're already doing, and you can bless him for that and thank him for that. And maybe you're saying, I didn't hear a thing, Steve. Maybe ask God to speak to you about what he desires for you. So let's just take a moment to do an I will statement, a praise statement, or just a question to God. Lord, I testify before my friends. You are a God of blessing. I see it in my own life, in my family, in the way that you are transforming me continuously. Lord, I've got a long way to go. But I thank you, Lord, that you called me to have a front row seat to see my own life changed and that of others. And that is your plan for every one of us. Front row seat, real living, interacting with real lives through the blessings that you have poured into us. Thank you, Father, for that. Our life matters. And you have a great plan for us. Lord, let us walk in that plan, for our world needs it. Every story cries out, is there a better way? Where's their hope? Where's their meaning? How do I deal with this? Oh God, you are all that we lack. And we give you praise, Lord. Lead us in this. Lead us through the week, Lord. Fill us up. In Jesus' name, amen.